morning, church. I'm so glad God has blessed us to have a day together to worship Him. I hope that you brought a Bible and invite you to turn with me to the book of Colossians, I'm very excited to be with you today and speaking on this subject, pandemic evangelism. And my hope is to build up Christians, to build you up. If you've been feeling discouraged, if you've been feeling a little listless over the past five or six months, I want you to know you're in good company. I think we've all had some days like that. I've even been asked, well, what are Christians supposed to be doing right now? What should be doing in our service to God? And on any given day, it feels like nothing's right, everything's upside down, and we're just at a loss. But I want us to remember this morning that the mission of Christ's kingdom is evangelism. Right now, in a pandemic, it's pandemic evangelism. Look at these words, pandemic. Comes to us from the Greek language. It's two Greek words put together. You got pan, that's all, and demos, which is flesh or mankind, all mankind. What's a pandemic? It's something that affects all people, all flesh, a huge number of people. And then our word evangelism. Well, that's gospel, good news. It's about carrying or heralding the good news of Christ's kingdom into this world. Pandemic evangelism. Well, when you realize that sin and darkness really have been a pandemic since the Garden of Eden. But the good news of the gospel is the answer, hope in the kingdom of the Son, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. If you have a Bible, notice Colossians 1, verse 13. He, that's God, has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. We have been transferred from the power of darkness into the kingdom of the Son. Please appreciate how this season of hardship with the virus pandemic, it makes people around us aware of darkness. Aware of the power of darkness. Life without hope. Life without Christ. This is the time for light. This is the moment for evangelism. And just as there are people who are in His kingdom, that's what this scripture says. Christian, you're in His kingdom now. There are still those who are outside, those who are in darkness. In fact, this passage reminds us, you were the outsiders, you lived in the domain of darkness, but now you're inside the kingdom of the Son. How did that come about? By the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just like in the first century with these Christians at Colossae, while they were in darkness, they were taught the gospel, they believed, they responded, they come into the kingdom of the Son. And from a prison cell, the Apostle Paul charges Christians to help people who are outside in the darkness come into Jesus' kingdom, come into Jesus' church. Notice with me Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. In your Bible, Colossians 4 and verse number 5. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside. Outside of what? The kingdom of the Son. Outside where? In the darkness. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Even when there's a pandemic? Especially when there's a pandemic. And as we walk through these two verses, we're going to discover four actions vital to all evangelism, but especially during this time of pandemic. These two verses give Christians clear direction about who we are and our work. We just want to be reminded and encouraged about the importance of our attitude and our approach to the people who are outside, that they might come in. And so let's break this down. Number one in your notes, walk in wisdom. It says, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside. Walk in wisdom. When we talk about the walk, our walk, it means your daily life. It's the ongoing lifestyle. How you live, how you interact with others, that's your walk. And once you are a Christian in the kingdom, your life and lifestyle reflects upon God. He is your Father, reflects upon Jesus. He is your King. And your walk demonstrates to the world what it means to be a Christian. And so the walk sets an example both to Christians, those inside the kingdom, but those who are outside, those in the darkness, walk in wisdom toward outsiders. It is not the church's mission to walk away from outsiders. Jesus does not teach the church to cloister and quarantine the gospel. No, the world is full of people that Jesus died to save and he lives to lead, but they're outside his kingdom. The church is to walk toward them and walk toward them in wisdom. Just want you to appreciate, you're not a guard keeping people outside of the church. The Lord has made you a guide to lead people into his kingdom, the kingdom of the Son. To explain the kingdom of the Son. That's how you walk. Have you ever been on a tour where you followed a guide? Anyone in here ever taken a guided tour of something? Well, there are three of us who know what I'm about to talk about then. All right. Well, let me explain what a guide. A guide is someone you want to take you through a cave. A guide is someone you want to take you whitewater rafting. A guide is someone you're going to follow to show you the monuments, to show you the museum, because they can explain these things. It's the guide who leads the tour, leads the group, keeps everybody together. The guide keeps people on the path. The guide can point out the unique features and the highlight of the wonder that you are now witnessing. The guide helps you understand where you are, what it matters, and where you want to go. A guide has the ability to answer questions you have. I'll tell you, one of the best guides I ever witnessed was a fellow who introduced himself to me as Paco. And my family and I were all in Cozumel, Mexico for the day, and we were going to take a tour of Mayan culture, Mayan ruins, a Mayan museum, Mayan chocolate. It was a big, big day. And Paco was going to lead us on this tour. And Paco addressed us all as my family. If he said it once that day, he said it 100 times. In fact, he talked to the older people in our tour group, and he even called them, Father, Mother, come this way. Father, Mother, notice this. It was a very full day, and Paco was saying, my family, let me tell you a story. My family meet my friend, the Jaguar. That actually happened. My family, here we are, and here is lunch. And here's what I learned that day. I was in a foreign country where I didn't speak the language, learning about ancient things far removed, but everything was going to be fine, even great, because I had Paco for a guide. Paco knew the way. Paco knew the language. And Paco cared about all of us. He kept calling us all day long, my family. Hey, I'm family. And brethren, for so many of our neighbors today, they want a guide. Truly, they need a guide. And you can be their guide for Christ, for the church, for the kingdom of the Son. It is foreign to so many people. The Bible is this unknown, ancient book. A lot of the so-called Christian messages that come through broadcast media, they're false teachings. They're not even in the Bible. The Bible is foreign to people. It can sure be confusing, even for people who are diligently seeking to understand Christ. Be the guide. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside. What wisdom? Well, we're taught about wisdom in the Old Testament in passages like Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. Or Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. What's wisdom? It is a proper reverence toward the Lord God. Knowing God, doing the word of God, living obedient to God. Here is wisdom. And so Christian, as citizens of the kingdom, we set a godly example. Your example shows that you know the way. Your care encourages the trust to follow. We walk in wisdom toward those who are outside. Set a godly example. It is our own faith and obedience that gives us credibility as a guide to Christ's kingdom. And especially in this pandemic time, church. We are always light shining in the dark. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. And the world grows darker, but you shine brighter. And I've been so encouraged to learn and know about some of the great examples of the good works that have been going on among you brethren here at Livingston, even during this difficult pandemic time. That there's been some good examples set, some walking in wisdom. You know, life's been going on and people have been moving in, moving out. And several organized together. Michael McDonald works with that. And Jaime Gonzalez worked together to have these moving teams. And several of these moving teams here recently have encouraged some questions and some conversation with neighbors. Who are these people that showed up to handle all your stuff? Who are these guys that are doing all this work for you? Well, these are my brothers in Christ. This is my church family. They do this in your church family? And I know for one brother having that conversation worked out into an invitation, you should come and see this church. But it's been walking in wisdom. I tell you what, families have been growing during this time. And I know that several of the number have worked together to participate in adoption fundraisers for some of our members. Who's provided all this stuff to sell? Who's working all this stuff? Well, this is my church family. These are my brothers and sisters in Christ. Your church family does this for you. I've loved being a part of the teen group. And in these past few months, being involved with them as we decorated yards to mark special occasions or been involved in the drive-by cheer parades. And we're trying to wave to some of the homebound and the older members. But, you know, other people in the neighborhood see these things. Who are these people waving out their window? What makes you so special? Well, I mean, I'm not all that special, but they made me feel special. We're in the same church. The cards and the calls that have been sent to one another. And I tell you what, there's even a family that snuck into my office one day when I wasn't here, and they put a big poster up on the outside of my door, and they wrote things that they liked about me. And I left it up. It really blessed me. It really blessed me. And here's what I want to say. None of these things were done so outsiders would see them, to be seen. And nevertheless, they have been seen. It's been great examples and walking in wisdom. Your example, your care, it matters. Walk in wisdom toward the outside. You qualify yourself to be the guide. They will ask and they will follow a good example. And you lead them to the kingdom of the Son. But Colossians 4 goes on. And I want to notice the second part of verse number 5. Number 2 in your notes, redeem the time. Redeem the time. For the sake of all those outside, redeem the time. That's why I said a moment ago, even in a pandemic, yeah, especially in a pandemic, if these are the times, then this is the time to redeem, to make the most, the best use of this time. And of course, time is always precious. We don't get any more of it. And right now, we can feel like everything is shut down and we're locked down. And honestly, people are alive. And there's a whole lot of living going on. Life hasn't stopped. The world hasn't stopped. People are continuing to live. This is the time. People are buying houses and they're selling houses. Isn't that true, Rich? And people are moving in and out all the time, all over the country, especially in our neck of the woods. And people who had lost job a couple months ago, they're looking and they're taking new jobs. And young couples are still getting married and they're starting life together. And people are still having babies or their families are growing up. Hasn't it been fun to play in this 9 o'clock service? Whose kid is that? Because they got a mask and they used to be that tall. You know, whose kid is that? They're still growing up. And then there's those people who would put God on the back burner, put those ultimate questions on the back burner because, hey, we're too busy living right now. We'll worry about God later. They're confronted with the end of life now because people are dying. And now they need answers. That's sad, isn't it, that people are dying? And it's not just about the virus, about the pandemic. There's still cancer people. There's still Alzheimer's. There's still heart attacks. It hasn't stopped. Death is the curse that unless the Lord comes first, none of us escape. But in a pandemic, this inescapable reality, it comes to the forefront of our minds. And people want to know about spiritual things. Their eyes are open to the hopelessness of the darkness. And they need to be guided toward the kingdom of the Son. We're told to redeem the time. When I think about making the most of the time, what does it mean to redeem the time? I think three words, action, action, action. Those are the three words. Action, action, action. I'm going to share with you right now five ways to redeem the time. Five ways. Now, you may only do one or two of these. I don't know. But I'll tell you that if you do any of them, you're going to be making good use of the time. Number one, pray vigilantly. Number one, pray vigilantly. within our context of Colossians 4 and verse 2, as the Apostle Paul is making these charges and even a plea on his own behalf, it's about prayer. Colossians 4 verse 2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. And I'm sure we have been vigilant about prayer. I hope we have, for our country and our leaders, for the safety of the health workers, especially in our own congregation. We're praying for those folks. I've been so uplifted by the elders' daily prayer emails. If you're a member here, you're getting those. And I know there's a bunch of congregations in this country that don't have elders at all. And there's some other congregations in this country where the elders, they're much more mindful about some of the physical logistics of church at this moment than some of the spiritual needs. But not my elders. Not your elders. Because we're getting those prayers every day. They're leading us in devotions and they're praying for us. And it means so much. Our spiritual health. That's redeeming the time. And what an example we have been given in prayer. I have been asked to pray on behalf of families. Prayer requests have come my way because they're saying, give me wisdom and pray for my wisdom, because my children right now are asking spiritual questions and they're thinking about being baptized and there's still teaching of the Word of God going on in homes, and we need to be praying about that. One of the most amazing prayer stories I guess I could share with you of the last couple of weeks is a brother in the congregation came up to me and he said, Andrew, he said, there's a friend of mine from high school. I've known her for over 10 years. I have been praying for her for over 10 years that she would get serious about the Bible, get serious about Christianity, kind of get away from this, I'm not sure if God exists. Yesterday she called me and she's talking about things in my life and she wants to know about the Bible. And that turned into a Bible study for me and with this fellow. Praying for 10 years and then seeing the fruit of that prayer. And at all times, now? I'm telling you, redeeming the time is in prayer. Pray for the people that you know and that you have been teaching the Word to. Continue to pray for the teachers, the elders, the leaders in the congregation, to be praying for opportunities. But I tell you, you redeem the time when you pray about the souls of those outside. Number two, action. Share the worship videos. Now, I'll tell you that without asking or twisting arms, several of you wonderful people in the Livingston Church family have been sharing those worship videos that we have on our website every week with people all over town, with people all over the country. Thank you. And know that when you do, you're evangelizing. And we started doing those videos mostly to, you know, to help encourage our own membership through the pandemic, through this difficult season. And yet because of the sharing, they have been serving Christians and getting the word to non-Christians, the people in faraway places. And we've been so thankful. And I want you to know that our plan is to be able to live stream our worship from this Livingston building here in just a couple more weeks. And we want to keep making that available and shareable, because with a few button taps, you are evangelizing all over the country and the globe when you share it. And I tell you, it's incredible how it has worked. Since we have been meeting again at the church building, we have had multiple people come in and visit and say, well, I saw the videos, or I came across the videos, and I just wanted to see for myself what this was all about. It's incredible. And it means so much when somebody lets me know, I wanted to see it. I wanted to even meet you. I'll tell you, it's a way to redeem the time. And Livingston people share, and I want to thank you for sharing. But it's an action. Number three, action. The online Bible teaching opportunities. Just as the schools here locally jumped into online learning last spring, so we have been started offering Zoom Bible classes. Several of you are involved in those. There's more tonight at 5 o'clock. And maybe a good thing coming out of the tragedy of this pandemic has been identifying and implementing technologies that allows people to overcome great distances, see each other, talk in real time about the Bible. And I want to tell you this morning, church, that if you want to invite a friend to be in one of those Zoom Bible classes, just send me an email. We'll get them set up. I always used to tell you, bring them out to the church building with me, right? We'll get them set up. And I want to remind you about this. But our online gospel presentation, ineedgoodnewstoday.com. We've done different evangelism classes here and tried to do training about showing the videos and talking about those and, you know, going through the app. And I'll tell you that in my mind, whenever I was doing the training, I was like, yeah, you want to show them on a tablet and you just swipe your finger. It's just that easy. It's just that easy. But I had the opportunity to go through this using Zoom and the share screen, and it worked so smoothly. And so ever, you know, it's a new way to use this tool, but I just want you to know it's there to share the gospel with another person. There are these online tools and these online opportunities to take advantage of, to easily teach someone else the gospel. Number four action, talk to your neighbors. Now, maybe your neighborhood is a little different than mine, but I'll tell you about my neighborhood experience. I have seen more folks out walking for fresh air and walking their dog and riding their bicycles and just being outside the last couple of months than I have in a long time. There have been neighbors who are meeting neighbors. Redeem those conversations. There's a family in the congregation here at Livingston who they're walking more and they notice this other lady in their neighborhood who's out walking. They meet her, they get to be friends with her, and they find out she's not part of any church family, but she has spiritual questions. They invite her to start coming over on Sundays and watch the worship video with them. She did. That turned into a fantastic Bible study that I got to be part of, and Jackson got to be part of. And that's just meeting a neighbor and talking to a neighbor about spiritual things. There's another sister in our congregation. Had a good friend in the neighborhood, walking by. She saw, oh no, the neighbor has a for sale sign up in the front yard. And I've not shared the gospel with this neighbor. And she went that afternoon. She said, there's something that it's been important for me to tell you. And I've had a chance to tell you. And the neighbor said, well, there's no time like today. And so she presented the gospel to her right there and then. I tell you, it's incredible. These people are willing to talk and they're interested in spiritual things and we're meeting our neighbors. Evangelism is urgent because people are continuing to live and move. We may not get other opportunities. Redeem the time. Number five action. Invite people to church again. And I use the word again. I wasn't sure which word to have you write into the blank, but you can circle the word again. Why do I say that? Because at Livingston, we often have talked about come and see evangelism. Invite them to come and see. Well, we hit the brakes on that, didn't we? I mean, hey, it's a pandemic. And we've not been doing much inviting because, we just weren't sure how all that was going to work here at the building. But I'm telling you, we can start again. With our two Sunday meetings, the 9 a.m. mask required, the 11 a.m. mask optional, we have had people just show up and we've, from the community, and that's great. There's room. You can look around you. Remember how Ellen had everybody look around last week? Why don't we do that again? It feels so good. Look around you, and just know that we can handle another 40 people in this room at this time easily. And it's the same way with the 11 o'clock. Now, our church number is still too large for us all to consolidate under one roof. I get that. But for either service, we could do another 40 really easily. And so if you wanted to ask your neighbor or your friend or your kid's friend, whoever, to come along with you, I don't want anybody to do anything they're uncomfortable about. I'm not talking about twisting somebody's arm, drag them out of the house. They don't want to leave the house. I'm not saying that. But you know in your circle of influence the people that feel comfortable getting out. And I'm telling you, you can invite them to come with you here. We have the room. And it is also evangelizing. We can assemble. We can worship. We love to make new friends. We can do this again. Life has not stopped because of this pandemic. Time marches on. Redeem it for the sake of all those outside the kingdom. Number three, in Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 6, we are taught in the scripture, Colossians 4 and verse 6, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. For the sake of those outside, speak graciously. Our speech is getting significantly filtered via screens and technology in these pandemic times. True? True. So let's talk about it for a moment. With far less proximity to people, we are saying far more. And I know we try to warm up some of the stuff we say with GIFs and emojis. And that might help turn some angry speech into something more like passive-aggressive speech. I guess that's a little better. But understand that with social media, everyone has a microphone. It's your microphone. You get to make your statement to the world. You get to make your declaration, your opinion, your perspective, your experience. Tell the world. So you are intentionally inviting the world to hear you. You are inviting those outside to hear you. What are you saying? How are you saying it? In this pandemic, Christians, we need to be mindful. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. Always? Even when we're frustrated and angry? Always? Even when we're bewildered and confused? Always? Even in time of doubt and fear? Always? Even when we don't know what to say or how to react, we're just supposed to talk. Since the Bible really does say always, maybe we need to wait to speak until we can speak with grace. It's just a thought. You know, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 7, there is a time to keep silence and a time to speak. And I will tell you, I've gotten myself in hot water on more than one occasion because I sure couldn't figure out which one was which. Maybe you have too. But the Holy Spirit helps us. Helps us know when it is time to speak. And that's when I can speak with grace. When I can speak graciously, then it's time to speak. Again, what are you saying and how are you saying it? Because our words can lift people up. May our speech, wherever it is heard, be words of encouragement. This twin epistle of Colossians, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. That's building up, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Again, gracious speech. Heaven forbid those outside cannot detect any difference in our speech from the outsiders. And it's not just about cursing or swearing. I'm sure Christians know better than to do that. But the complaining, wrathful outbursts, demeaning sarcasm, trolling. Do we sound like that? And look, it's not that we don't have problems or difficulties. It's not that we don't probably need a moment to melt down from time to time. I'm sure we do. But we don't have to do it publicly. We don't have to do it in a microphone. The Bible teaches us we can cast all of our cares on the Lord in prayer. I just want to remind you that kingdom citizens possess the victorious, the eternal outlook of Jesus. He's the king. We can talk like it. We can understand that people need building up. If your speech is careful and helpful, breathing the oxygen of encouragement into the lives of others, it will bless them. It will lift them up. It will carry them to view the heights of the kingdom of the Son. Our words can lift people up. I think good humor really helps. I have to tell you how I was so encouraged the other day by one of our deacons, and the day was not going great. The day was not going great because I was had some extra responsibilities, and I was trying to get that wonderful program put together for everybody a couple weeks ago. Found out that the song leader, he's sick, he's not feeling good, he's not going to lead singing that day. Let's get the substitute guy in. I'm like, what songs are you going to sing? What songs are you going to sing? And total straight deadpan, he sends in the song list. We'll sing only a strip. To Christ be loyal and be flu. Where he sneezed, I'll follow. Here we are, but weighing pilgrims. Now, you may say, that's corny, and I don't do puns. And that's okay, we're still friends. But I will tell you, I needed that song list like I didn't even know. And I started laughing. I mean, I lost it. I needed that song list that day. How flavorful, how delightful to bring a little laughter, a smile to someone else with humor. And I tell you, Christians, we can laugh at ourselves. We can laugh at some aspects of the situation. And we can help others to laugh as well. And it doesn't come from a place of callousness. And God forbid we don't understand how serious it all is. We do. But here's the thing. Hopeful people have gracious speech. Joyful people have gracious speech. Kind people have gracious speech. Peaceful people have gracious speech. And of course I have hope. I'm a Christian. It is so wonderful to be in that kingdom, to know and trust tomorrow can always be better. If tomorrow comes, that's God's gift to me. And my patient, long-suffering God will walk with me through it, whatever comes. He will never leave me nor forsake me. God's with me on that tomorrow. But of course, there's one day when the Lord is coming. And on that day, we shall go to meet him in the air. And oh, what a wonderful day that will be. That will be tomorrow. I'm so full of hope for what tomorrow can bring. And likewise with joy and kindness and peace. There is a Holy Spirit bearing fruit in your life, Christian. People need to see it and taste it. How good it is to follow the Lord. And it comes out in your speech. You give the world the taste of the fruit of the Spirit. It tastes so good in this pandemic time. You show people the heights of the kingdom of Christ, which cannot be shaken by a pandemic, with your gracious speech. For all those who are outside, speak graciously. And then number four, we're taught in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6. Number four, answer knowledgeably. Answer knowledgeably. For the sake of all those outside the kingdom, answer knowledgeably. He says that you may know how you ought to answer each one. And he's talking about people, particularly answering the people who are outside that kingdom. And I know for a lot of Christians, whenever we do some teaching about evangelism, this is always kind of that part that triggers some fear about sharing faith. What if they ask a question? What if it's a question I've not considered? I don't know the answer to. I don't want to say something wrong. I get nervous when we start talking about answering and questions. Well, read closely. First, let me notice, and I want to tell you to take heart, because what this scripture says is know how to answer each one or each person. We're actually not being charged here to gain all knowledge about all religion to answer any random question that ever may arise. No. But there's a person. And as you have personal connection with someone, they got their own situation, their background, their needs. When you know them, you'll know how to answer their questions with the gospel. You'll know how to talk to them about the gospel and influence them for Christ. And here's what kingdom citizens can appreciate. Those outside, they're only going to ask you questions when they witness how your attitude, your outlook, differ in a pandemic from everyone else. And then they're going to ask you, why is that? They got to see and have a reason to ask. Why aren't you frozen with fear? How is it that you respond to love and aid to that neighbor? He's not a very good neighbor. He doesn't even clean up after his dog in your yard. Why are you nice to that neighbor? Why do you pray for the leaders of the nation? Aren't you disgusted with the leaders of the nation? Why do you pray for your enemies? Why are you so different about all of this? I have hope. Well, what's the reason for your hope? 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give an answer, give a reason, give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness, with fear. Perhaps this time of pandemic, people are thinking deeply about those questions that only the Bible can answer, and what a privilege it is to open the Bible with someone, to study it with another. But you know what the reason for your hope is. The reason for your hope is Jesus, who died for your sins and then conquered death. He lives and he reigns. You're part of an everlasting kingdom. That's a reason for your hope. And that hope that you have, the reason for the hope that you have, it's shareable. It's a reason they can hope. It's the reason those outside can come inside to the kingdom of the Son. That's the reason. And there is no better time to become a Christian. We are living in a pandemic season. Our role is pandemic evangelism. Putting into practice Colossians 4 verses 5 and 6. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. And may God bless us to that end. If you want to put your Bibles away and put your notes away, Brother Todd's going to come lead us in some more wonderful uplifting song worship. Brother Todd's going to come forward and lead a song. As we sing, just appreciate Jesus did die for your sins and he rose again. There's a people of redeemed, a kingdom of which he leads, and he invites you to be part of it. To know the forgiveness of sins and new life. To know hope for tomorrow and every wonderful fruit of the Spirit. To know it, to have it. And I want you to leave here with it today. There's no time like this moment. And so as we sing this song, if you have not yet become a Christian, come forward and make that desire known. We'll take your confession. We'll baptize you for the remission of sins. You can leave here in Christ from the outside to the inside in him today. And so don't delay. If we can help you with any spiritual need, come forward and make it known as we stand and sing. Won't you?